also, I want to encourage anyone who's working in City Hall right now who is a person of color in any government agency, if you're not being treated well and you're very frustrated, please call the Bureau of Labor and Industries. The other piece of this is, for people who are already in those jobs, give us all a chance to support you so that we can make a space for more people to get in there. That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Sam Sachs of the City of Portland Human Rights Commission. Check him out on Twitter, the No Hate Zone.
Thank you, Lisa.
That's him. He's the No Hate Zone. Special thanks to engineer Kate the Great Welch. This show's going to be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
It is 10 a.m. on KBOO Portland, and do stand by for Air Cascadia. I think political perspectives is a different day, but today it's Air Cascadia, local news hosted by Chris Andre. She's waiting in the wings. And at 10:15, we'll hear flashpoints, as always, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. I'm not sure what his topic is today, but it's always interesting. And then at 11 on the Digital Divide, we will hear an excerpt of an interview with Dr. Robert Wachter, author of The Digital Doctor, Hope, Hype, and Harm at the Dawn of Medicine's Computer Age, and with guest host Andrew Geller. Thank you for listening to KBOO. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Make Music PDX on Sunday, June 21st in numerous locations around Portland. Make Music PDX is an event for people who love music and the joyous sense of community that music can foster. Portland will be joining over 725 cities internationally who celebrate Make Music Day, with music played throughout the day and throughout the city. Again, that's Make Music PDX all over Portland on June 21st. More information about bands and venues and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. As many listeners know, today is the day that Fast Track comes before the House for a vote. We'll see what happens. Anybody who did not call, that you have only yourselves to blame if this thing goes through. So keep calling, though. Call the president, call the White House number, and keep hammering away at this. Today's guest is Gustavo Andrade. He is the organizing director with CASA. He's an immigrant rights advocate in the D.C. area, and he has been tireless and relentless in his support for immigrant right, social justice issues, and in this instance, labor issues. Gustavo will be giving out a couple of phone numbers that's important for you to have. We've got a couple of headlines to get through first. Last month, the entire congressional delegation from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana sent a letter urging the Obama administration to begin negotiations this year on a landmark agreement revising the treaty with Canada that will govern the way water in the Columbia River is used and whether or not there will be enough water for fish. Of course, First Nations have the first right to the water, and because they have the first fishing rights, as they should, there should be no question, there should be no need for any of this. But nonetheless, here we are, changing the amount of hydroelectric power sent to Canada each year under the agreement, for example, could impact local ratepayers' utility bills. We'll find out how all of this plays out. The Columbia River and the Tribal Fish Commission is on it, and we'll be talking with them sometime next week. This from Eric Florup at the Columbia. And Portland State University Board of Trustees yesterday approved the police on campus with loaded guns, which does not seem particularly productive and seems counterproductive if you think about safety issues. Guns never do any good, never. So history would seem to back that up. And moving right along, a judge in Cleveland ruled yesterday that the probable cause existed to charge the two Cleveland police officers in the death of a 12-year-old boy, Tamir Rice. Moving right along, Interior Secretary Sally Jewell has announced $10 million for land restoration projects in 13 states in a strategy to reduce catastrophic wildflowers. I wish it was catastrophic wildflowers, but we're actually talking about catastrophic wildfires, and we're talking about Secretary Sally Jewell, so we could pretty much assume that that $10 million is going to underwrite logging companies to so-called thin the forest. Forests don't need to be thinned by people, they thin themselves. Thanks, Sally. Negotiators in Bonn reached a surprise agreement, the scheme to cut emissions from deforestation. Are we out of our minds? Don't we make connections here? People are meeting in Europe to decide that deforestation is one of the major factors in catastrophic climate change. Our climate is collapsing all around us all the time, even as we speak. And here we are negotiating deals based on the observation that deforestation is bad for all of us. So there you go. Indigenous leaders from across Argentina's 17 provinces met in Buenos Aires and presented dramatic testimonies of human rights violations and dispossession from their ancestral lands. More on that. And we want to get right now directly to Gustavo Andrade. Welcome, Gustavo. So glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Christina. It's great to be here.
Well, it seems that in all of the debate here and all of the voices that issue from various quarters, the voice of the Hispanic people, the Hispanic community, and the immigrant community in general, at large, have not really been heard significantly. And except I know that people are talking about this amongst themselves, but their voices have been somewhat cut out of the national discussion. I want to ask you about, this is so utterly outrageous. We can't understand why Obama, when he has absolutely nothing to lose, should stand up and do the right thing. Shouldn't he be thinking about his legacy? Why does he consistently betray the immigrant community, right on the cusp of major decisions that affect families, lives, workplaces, whole histories of a people? Can you talk a bit about this? What's up with Obama? Why on earth would he sell us down the river?
Sure. I mean, I'd be happy to. I think there are many sides of this issue to unpack. I think the issue with President Obama, first and foremost, is that it's helpful to think about his office and what that office represents. The office of the President of the United States, historically, and really, you know, regardless of who is occupying, whether it be one of the Bushes, whether it be Mr. Obama, whether it be Mr. Clinton, has generally, over the last 20, 25 years, has been one of promotion of a corporate agenda. And that corporate agenda is very much present in this latest trade agreement proposal, but it was also present in agreements like the North American Free Trade Agreement, like the Central America Free Trade Agreement. And so what we see from President Obama, unfortunately, is a continuation of a type of ideology that benefits the 1%, that benefits global corporations, and that really throws everybody else under the bus.
But he doesn't need to think about that's what that's the mystery to me is he has to think about his legacy now. He's not running for office, so he doesn't so much need to think about the flow of money and which direction it is in fact headed. Apart from that, let's just stress that this is not over. No matter which way the vote goes in the House, it comes down ultimately to President Obama. He's on the wrong side of this, way on the wrong side. It is not too late. Keep calling the White House. Write letters, send emails. Do whatever you can, and don't stop. Keep pushing. It's not over yet. But this is indeed our last chance, because this thing is irrevocable. It's not something that we can turn back. It's not something that we can amend. It is forever, and it will destroy us utterly and completely. But I want to ask you, how do you see this impacting the immigrant community, and what's the conversation been like in D.C., people that you know? What are they talking about with regard to the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Well, sure. So just to give your listeners some context, our organization is a local immigrant rights organization in the D.C. metro region. So while we do play inside the Beltway, most of our work is done outside of the Beltway in local immigrant communities. So I can give you a perspective of immigrant workers in the United States, whom are incredibly concerned over issues of local job loss.
I just want to point out, I think I perhaps did not underline that Gustavo is the organizing director with CASA, and that it's important to realize the work that he does at CASA on behalf of the immigrant community. I hope I did stress that sufficiently. Continue, please.
Thank you. Sure, thank you. So, from the perspective of immigrant workers in the United States, we have the same concerns as workers who are African American, white, Asian. The issue of job loss is a very real catastrophe in local communities, where it's already hard enough to see our jobs being shipped away, but we understand that agreements like these would only speed that up and do nothing to mitigate it. And two, from the perspective of workers abroad, is that many of our countries, I happen to be from Brazil, moved to the United States about 20 years ago. But the trade agreements like this only accelerate the pressures, the economic pressures that workers abroad feel to migrate. And this agreement is really about giving corporations the ability to really race to the bottom so much quicker and really find workers who are willing to work for only cents, compared to what workers are accustomed to here. So we also understand that it would have a huge impact on the environment. And the other objection is that this agreement has been negotiated behind closed doors. So, if it was such a good thing for the United States and for the world, then why wouldn't they have done it publicly? It seems like something President Obama would have wanted to take credit for. So, for all of these concerns, I think for workers here in the United States, immigrant workers, native-born workers, and as well as workers overseas, this is a bad deal all around. I do have a phone number for your listeners to call. If you are concerned about this, you can call the White House, and you can also call your representative. We understand that there are many Democrats who are on the fence in the House of Representatives right now. The Republicans in the House will probably mostly side with President Obama, which should tell you everything you need to know about this agreement. If John Boehner is supporting it, and all the other pro-business House Republicans, that this is a bad deal for workers. And that number is 1-855-712-8441. Again, it's 1-855-712-8441, and that's the number from our friends at the AFL-CIO.
And the Policy Studies, Manuel Perez Roca, points out, I see here, that and I think this is from the New York Times, why the world should beware. And he states the trade and investment partnership, the transatlantic trade and investment partnership, which is currently being negotiated, it will affect the whole world. This is all part and parcel of this disaster. And the other aspect of it, the other part of this thing, is, of course, the so-called job retraining act that is being bandied about as the solution. This is supposed to be a salve to people who are concerned about their jobs disappearing. That's probably the biggest lie of all. And the idea that wrapped up in the Trans-Pacific Partnership is millions, billions of dollars that are being tagged for job retraining for jobs that aren't there. You have to wonder why they are going to be, they see a need to spend that much money on what is essentially a PR stunt to lead people to believe that after everything, the entire structure of labor that's been built carefully brick by brick over the years, that all of that is going to come crumbling down. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, thanks a lot. All of this, but we're going to retrain people, and that they're going to have these wonderful new jobs and so forth. Do you think, from what you've heard, the immigrant community believes any of that, that they are going to go to this? What are they going to do? Is this going to be in an auditorium somewhere, in a football field? Everybody's going to go and be retrained for what? Does anybody buy it, do you think?
Well, I mean, that's the crux of the issue, that the unemployment in the United States today is not due to a lack of training capacity. you know, the lack of jobs, you know,